Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patriotic Weekly Review, episode number 42. We've got a lot to get through tonight. Modi Midjord is back, and we will be interviewing him soon, introducing him soon, and he'll be telling us all about the exciting debate that will be taking place as the centerpiece of the next Scanza Forum. So that is going to be fantastic. We had Jared Taylor on a few weeks ago, and he is one half of that debate, and it is going to be very exciting. And although I can't be there myself, I am very excited to watch it either live or watch it on replay, because it's something I'm very, very interested in. But before we get started, the first thing to note is today we are live on YouTube, but we are also live on RadioAlbion.com. That is a site run by Sven Longshanks. We stream live there every week, as well as being live on YouTube. Radio Albion is full of great nationalist content. So if you want to listen to more excellent nationalist shows when you're not watching PWR or watching other content produced by people on this show, Radio Albion is a great place to find a wealth of fantastic material which you can occupy your time with. Now, if you would like to contribute to the show, the best way to contribute is via Entropy. Now, the Entropy link is in the description of the show. It is also on my Telegram, it is on my Twitter, and it is in the live chat now. You can make donations via Entropy, and you can also ask questions. The best questions get voted up, and the highest voted questions get asked to the panel in the second half of the show. All donations are gratefully received, and any questions or statements submitted with donations are always read out. So that's Entropy. The link is on my Telegram, it is on my Twitter, and it is in the chat now. The next important thing to point out, and we point this out every week because there's always somebody who says to me, where are the old episodes of PWR? Well, all old episodes of PWR, and this is episode number 42, so the previous 41 weeks worth of episodes can all be found on my BitChute account. That is very important. These streams are taken down 12 hours after they finish, and they're taken down for obvious reasons, because of the censorious nature of YouTube and the fact that people may falsely flag them to cause us problems. So these streams are removed 12 hours after they go live, but they can then be found on BitChute, and a full back catalogue of all my work can be also found there. And it is in a completely uncensored format. So you can watch all my old videos and all old episodes of PWR. Now, it is time to get right into the show. That is one of the shortest introductions we have done in a long time. But before we introduce Frody, please, no white guilt. Jason, how have you been this week, my friend? Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to, and tell us if there's going to be an after party. And also, if you like, talk about last week's after party, because that really was something special.
Well, it was indeed. We're going to have an after party tomorrow evening, Eastern Standard Time. Please be there. It's going to be magnificent. And this past week, we had a giant celebration for the birthday number two, anniversary number two for the TAP crew and everyone involved. And we had these two wonderful gentlemen. They could not have been more exciting, because we had these two wonderful gentlemen on. It was a glorious celebration. In fact, I was just saying, before we got started, we streamed all the way into the next morning with Poseidon staying up all night long. He had to do his show in I don't know, like 7 or so hours after that. And he only left because he had to feed his children breakfast. So that's the kind of dedication that he shows over there in Greece. And we had Mother Hen with us all the way up to the very end, and Rory from Verbo Tempestus. You can find those people over on DLive, by the way. They're not on YouTube at all anymore. They've been run off, as many of us have been, and I even did some dancing on that. So if you want to see that, that's the third installment. There are three parts to the stream on my channel, and all the way near the end there, we were playing music and ended up doing a little bit of dancing. And this past week, we had the great demonetization happen, and they demonetized the No White Guilt channel. So we can no longer take any super chats or anything of that nature over on the channel. But no worries, we're not stopping, not missing a beat. The YouTube crew actually said you can delete all of your videos and then appeal what we have done, and maybe we'll give you back your monetization. And then I told them in the American way that they are number one with my middle finger. So that is all I have to say. I will pass it back over to our leader, Mark Collett, so we can get into the show and find out about Frody and what we're going to learn about the exciting things taking place all over Europe today.
Well, thank you very much, Jason. And we will be introducing Frody in 2 seconds. But we will also be talking tonight, and these are some reasons you may want to stick around. We are going to be talking about the Conservative Party's cover-up of the grooming scandal. We will be talking about Tommy Robinson's latest startup, the Patriots Union, his poor rip-off of Patriotic Alternative, has already failed and flopped, and allegedly somebody ran off with all the money. How do these things keep happening to them? But anyway, he's starting a new group with Carl Benjamin. So that's going to be exciting, and we'll be talking about that and placing bets on how quickly it will be before that crashes and burns. So that will be later in the show, and we'll also be talking about the developments with the coronavirus and whether Western nations have what it takes to get a pandemic under control. But now it is time to introduce Frody Midjord. Now, Frody is an inspirational man. In fact, he is the inspiration behind Patriotic Alternative and the conferences we now hold in the UK. I was lucky enough to be invited to speak in Skanza in Sweden, actually, in Stockholm. And it was hands down the best nationalist meeting I had ever been to. It was superb on so many levels. It was professional. The people were well dressed. The speakers were superb. The location was absolutely spot on. The venue was immaculate. And it got me thinking, if nationalists on the continent can put on such a great show, why can't we in Britain? So I think we have an awful lot to thank Frody for. He is a leader, he is a speaker, and he is the organizer of the best continental conferences. So please welcome Frody Midjord. And Frody, tell us where we can find you, how we can support your work, and also tell us about your forthcoming event, which looks like it's going to be the best Skanza to date.
Well, thank you, Mark. You're too kind, as always. I mean, if I had any part in the great work that you're doing with the Patriotic Alternative, then I'm very humble and very grateful for that. And it was a fantastic event that you put on that was in September, I believe, something like that. It was really great. It was really excellent. And England has a long and proud history of a lot of high-ranking people in the nationalist movement, produced a lot of good people. So it really needs a strong center to gravitate to. And I think you've created that, and my congratulations. And I also want to thank you guys for bringing me on. We're a part of a big, great community, and you guys have always been very supportive in bringing me on your show and so on. And I've always enjoyed it, and it's all good fun. The next Skanza Forum is coming up on the 2nd of May in Zagreb, Croatia. And the reason why we have it in Zagreb, Croatia is because one of the speakers is Jared Taylor. And Jared Taylor has been banned from the Schengen area. And a principle that I really believe in is that freedom of speech is something that you have to use or lose. And when they try to silence us and bully us into submission, we really have to keep going. So that's one of the reasons that I wanted to invite Jared Taylor again, because he was banned from the very conference that you talked about, Mark, that you also spoke at. He was supposed to speak there. He was on the list of speakers. He was scheduled to speak, but he was prevented from coming to the conference because he was stopped in Switzerland and turned back to the United States. He was banned from entering the Schengen area because Poland didn't want him in Europe. And I think it's our duty to stand up for the principles of freedom of speech, because Liberal democracy is supposedly based on the principles of freedom of speech and an open discussion, and not using, you know, bullying tactics or threats or violence to silence other people. And we want to participate in the debate, and we want to do it on the same terms as everyone else. And when we're prevented to do so, I think it's our duty to just keep going and, you know, crank up the volume. So I wanted to get Jared back, and he's also a fantastic speaker, obviously. And I thought that this is a good opportunity for a debate, because I love debates. And one of the people that I've seen a lot in, you know, alternative media, on the social media lately, is E. Michael Jones. And E. Michael Jones has stated repeatedly in interviews and you know, discussions he's had, that race doesn't really exist, that race is a fiction, and that only language defines ethnicity, and that there is no sort of inherent differences between different human populations, as I would call races, but that it's really Christianity that has made Europe into what it is. And you know, and he said that the only difference between the accomplishments of Europe and the accomplishments of Africa is Christianity, because he spent a lot of time in Germany, and he spent a lot of time in Tanzania, and he said that the only difference between those two countries is 1,000 years of Catholicism. And obviously I'm a nationalist, and I believe in race, and I also have a very sort of philosophical side to me. I love debates, I love searching for truth. And I thought this was a great opportunity, because when people state things, I think, especially, you know, controversial, quote unquote, things, I think those things should be debated. And these two gentlemen have very different opinions about this matter. So I thought this would be a lot of fun. So I wrote to E. Michael Jones, invited him, and he accepted my invitation. At first, we had a little discussion about how the topic should be phrased, because my first suggestion was, is race a false concept or something like that? He didn't like that. So I just went to one of his interviews where he said that race is a fiction. So I just borrowed his own words and I said, okay, so let's say, is race an important reality or a fiction? Because you've stated that race is a fiction. And he accepted, very much to his credit. So that's one of the things that I admire about E. Michael Jones, is that although I disagree with him about a lot of things, he's always very straightforward, and he always is very honest and says exactly what he believes. And that makes for a great debate. So he accepted. We're going to be in Zagreb, Croatia. And it's going to be a lot of fun, because this, I mean, it's not just entertainment, this topic. The question of, is race important or not? Basically, this is a debate between a sort of civic nationalism and ethnic nationalism. Is what we stand for. I've often said, you know, that the right, in a more general sense, is more defined by what it's not. It has more of a negative definition than a positive one. That is, it's defined by it, you know, the left hates us, the left wants to silence us. We see problems with, you know, a lot of problems with the modern world, and a lot of problems with, you know, leftist trends in gender policy and in different political direction that we're going in all across the modern West. But we're not really agreed on what we are for, you know, what we want to promote. And some people think that we are for a set of ideas or a set of principles. Other people think that we are for a certain people, that is our tribe, our larger extended family, our race. So this is a very central question, because for a political movement to have any success, it must have a great self-awareness of what it is for. So it's not just entertainment, although I'm quite sure it will be entertaining, because we've received thousands of comments. People are really, really on fire about this. This is going to be a lot of fun. But not only that, we also have a lot of other great speakers. We have Millennial Woes. He's coming back for like the fifth time or something. He's always very popular. His speeches are always well received, and I'm proud to say that I think that he has given some of his best speeches at the Scanza Forum events, and he also gave a brilliant speech at the last Patriotic Alternative. And then we also have Greg Johnson. Greg Johnson has been scheduled to speak at every Scanza Forum, and he's always been very supportive of the Scanza Forum from the beginning, even before I created the Scanza Forum, because I organized some events before the Scanza Forum. He was prevented by external, you know, circumstances from speaking at the last two forums, but he has been scheduled to speak at all of them. So he's coming back. His speeches are, he's a great speaker. He's really a fantastic speaker. I myself, I'm going to speak as well. And I'm going to speak on the topic that I was prevented to speak about in Oslo the last time, because I was supposed to speak about the idea that race is a social construct. And it's an idea that I've had a lot of philosophical... I spent a lot of philosophical energy on that topic some almost 15 years ago now, because I was interested in you know, philosophy, academic philosophy back then, and I found this suggestion that race is a social construct. So I started looking into it, and I, you know, what do they mean by social construct, and what do they mean by saying that race is a social construct? So I wrote down my ideas, and I basically wrote the contents of this speech back in 2006, I believe, and I haven't really presented them in public before. But I still stand by them, and I'm very much looking forward to presenting them to the public to hear the feedback on them, because I think that I really have, you know, the grasp on that issue. I really have the answers to those suggestions that race is a social construct and so on. And then we have Ed Dutton. He is the final speaker, final speaker on the main card, that is. Ed Dutton, he is a phenomenal speaker. He is probably, he is definitely one of the very best speakers we have in nationalism and on the right today. And he gave a speech in Oslo at the previous Scanza Forum, and it was very well received. He is a funny guy. He is an entertainer and a showman. And I'm very much looking forward to what he is going to deliver. And then also, because we're in Zagreb, Croatia, we're going to have Tom Sunic has agreed to give us a welcoming speech. He's not going to, you know, speak on the general topic of the conference, but he's going to be there welcoming us because it's his hometown. So he's going to be a sort of a guest of honor. So it's going to be on his home turf, and it's going to be fantastic. And Zagreb is going to be, it's going to be magnificent in early May, the 2nd of May, that is. So if you're looking forward to a sort of a vacation, going somewhere to where it's warm and meeting other people, I think you should sign up for the Zagreb conference. It's on the 2nd of May in Zagreb, Croatia. And the main purpose of these events is networking and creating a real world community of high quality people who you want to have by your side, because throughout the West, we see society in general falling apart, and we're all alienated by it, and we need a community. We need a real-world community around us, and the only way you can be a part of that community is by, you know, meeting each other face-to-face, and I can't overemphasize the value of being a part of a real-world community. So you should really not just go to my events, but go to the other events that are created around all around Europe, because we're like a family. We go to each other's events, and it's not just the organizers and the speakers, it's also other people who go to basically all the events, and we're really like a family. So you should really join that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And we also have a fundraiser. Can I say something about that as well?
Yeah, and also we have spoken about you streaming it, because at one point you were potentially going to stream it and allow people to watch it live. So that would be something that I'm sure people would be very, very interested in doing, because not everyone can jump on a plane and go to Zagreb, but everyone can fire up their computer and participate via pay-per-view.
Sure. Exactly. We have been looking into that. I don't have a definite answer. We will be filming the events. we will be filming all the speeches, putting them up online afterwards. That is definitely, we always do that, and we're going to do that this time as well. But we've also looked into the possibilities of doing a high quality live stream of the event, because I know, like, just like when people like what's his name? Tyson Fury, like the boxing match or whatever, you know, people want to be there, even though they can't travel to the location. They want to follow it at the same time, and they want to see the results at the same time. And especially a debate between Jared Taylor and E. Michael Jones. People are really going to want to see that when it happens. They don't want to wait, you know, a week until or 2 weeks until the video comes up. They want to see it right then and there. So I have been looking into it. I can't give you a definite answer, but we will try to live stream it. If everything falls into place as we want to, we will make some sort of live stream as a sports event, because you know, like I said to a friend, you know, that we want to change the world, right? And if the UFC is more professional than us and has, you know, more people on board and gets more people interested and excited, then we've sort of failed to begin with, because if we want to change the world, we really have to get people on board. I think that's a part of it, you know, really creating this community feeling, so people can see it live when it happens. We will try, and I'll get back to you when we have everything set up, so I can definitely say yes that we're going to live stream it. And then we're going to have we have also started a fundraiser for the event, because basically a crowdfunding for the event, because I've organized, this is going to be the 8th Scanza Forum. I've organized conferences before that, so this is the 10th conference that I organize over more than half a decade, and not a single conference has breaks even without support from our donors and so on. So that's why I just want to get that out in the open, that, you know, we receive help. We want to receive help to organize this, and it's needed, because organizing an event is like putting in every day, basically working around the clock, getting it done. You know, first finding the speakers, finding a venue, getting a date that works for everyone, organize all the trips, organize where everyone's gonna stay. Then, you know, correspondence with you know, email after email, hundreds of emails, and getting everything to work out. You know, think about security, think about everything. And then when it's all, you know, taken care of, when you've spent all that time, try to sort of find people who can help chip in afterwards to sort of pay for all the costs. That's why we put this fundraiser out before the event, to get that taken care of. And if you want to learn more about the event, and if you want to sign up, I think Mark has provided a link to the announcement, which is on Countercurrents, counter-currents.com. So you can find out more about the event, sign up, and send me an email, because we have a sort of vetting process. No one is allowed to sign up anonymously. So send us your real name, and we're going to need ID. And also, if you know someone who knows us, who can vouch for you, that is also a very good thing, because that helps us with this process of, you know, looking into who's coming to the event and so on, and approving people for registration. So that's really helpful. Those two things, then we're almost there. So just send me an email and join us in Zagreb on the 2nd of May. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that information. So are you ready to discuss some news?
Sure. Anything you like.
Good. Because we have some very, very interesting news. It's very saddening. It's, in fact, it's sickening. But it does need to be discussed. And it needs to be discussed because it really underlines the fact that the Conservative Party are not our friends. The Conservative Party are not made up of nationalists. They're not made up of people who believe in freedom of speech. And they are not acting in the interests of the Indigenous people. Now, I know that a lot of the plastic Spitfire patriots have all been fooled by the Conservative Party. And they're all cheering now and saying, oh, isn't it great? Isn't it great? Boris Johnson sent 14 Jamaican criminals home. That's it. Demographic nightmare averted. We're all safe. Well, no. And no again for his immigration policies, because we've discussed them at length on this show. We've discussed how, in fact, he wants a limitless immigration policy. They're talking about a points-based system, but on the other hand, he's going to Africa telling African leaders how he's going to make it easier for Africans to come to Britain. Now he won't be having to bring in so many European Union migrants. So I think he's a bit of a wolf in sheep's clothing. But the thing that really, really proved what I've been saying, because I've been saying this for quite a while. Before Boris Johnson was elected, I made a video called The Truth About Boris Johnson, saying, you know, he's not what people think. This guy is a globalist. He's jumped on the anti-EU bandwagon to attain power and to get the patriotic masses behind him. But he isn't really a patriot in any sense of the word. And now I think that's been proven, because obviously most of my regular viewers, and probably more or less anybody who watches this show, in fact, or has ever heard of me, will know about the grooming scandal. They will know about the fact that hundreds and hundreds of thousands of British girls who are overwhelmingly of Indigenous descent have been groomed, sexually abused, and raped by men who are overwhelmingly from ethnic minority backgrounds. And the people who know about this will also know that the police, social services, and previous governments have been absolutely complicit in allowing this to happen. In fact, there have been cases where police chiefs have told officers that they must investigate other ethnicities. There is reports which claim that Gordon Brown's Home Office told police chiefs to instruct their officers not to investigate cases of grooming and just to let it carry on and not to challenge it. And because of all of this, because of this finally breaking in the media and finally being exposed, there has been a Home Office review into the issue of grooming. And this Home Office review was meant to expose everything, was meant to expose the scale of the grooming. It was meant to expose the people behind the grooming. It was meant to expose how long it's been going on for, and it was meant to expose just how high the cover-up went, just how close to the top it went, or just how close to the top the orders came from to cover up the grooming scandal. Now, the Conservative Party, who have clothed themselves in this veneer of patriotism, were meant to be making this Home Office review public. However, they have stated, and I will actually read this to you from a headline in The Independent. Now, I tweeted this out. It's on my Twitter. You can see it there. If you go over to my Twitter, check it out. And I will read this from The Independent. Grooming gang review kept secret as Home Office claims releasing findings is not in the public interest. Exclusive freedom of information request refused, so ministers have safe space to discuss policy. So after hundreds of thousands of girls being groomed, sexually abused, raped, trafficked, sometimes even murdered, we aren't going to get to know the truth about this. In fact, the government doesn't think we have the right to know the truth about this, because we know who's behind it. And what I will say is, the fact they're hiding this review probably indicates three things. Firstly, the scale of the grooming scandal is likely to be bigger than anyone has previously predicted. Secondly, the people behind the grooming are likely to have been discovered to be far more organized and doing this on a greater scale than we thought. And also will overwhelmingly be from one particular ethnic minority background that the government are desperate to appease at any cost. And finally, I believe the third thing this review would have proved is that the Home Office, social services, numerous local councils, and almost every police force where grooming was taking place will all have been complicit in the cover-up. So there's been a nationwide cover-up, untold numbers of victims, and essentially a racist organized crime ring that goes across the entire nation that has been purposely targeting girls of indigenous descent. And this is all being covered up because the truth of this, as far as the government are concerned, should never reach the public. Because the last thing the government wants is for the public to know how bad things are. And I've said this before, and I'm not going to apologize for saying it again, but this demographic change in Britain is happening so rapidly. In 2011, we made up roughly 80% of the population. When I say we, I'm talking about white Britons. However, when you looked at primary schools, we only made up 66% of the population. And when you looked at newborns, we only made up around 59% of the population. However, we still are a majority. And if this is happening to us now, if we are being treated this terribly as a majority, if as a majority we are already second-class citizens, what's it going to be like when we're a minority? What's it going to be like when these communities that do these horrific things to us are a majority? Because the government are already prioritizing them now when they have quite a bit of power, but it's limited because they still are in relatively small numbers. When they have extreme amounts of power and far greater numbers, the government are only going to pander to them a hell of a lot more, and that will be to our detriment. But before I go around the group here and ask everyone for their opinion, I just want to say, isn't it amazing that the Conservatives, who were elected on a platform of patriotism, on a platform of essentially anti-immigration, skepticism of multiculturalism and globalism, are actually helping to perpetuate this sickening cover-up. And if you help perpetuate a cover-up, you also help perpetuate the abuse. So, Frody, what do you think to this? What do you think to people who believe the Conservatives are patriots? And do you think we'll ever find out the truth?
Well, I mean, it's just appalling. It's just appalling how people put their, you know, put their sort of ideology, if you can call it that, in front of, they put that ahead of the safety of even our children, and they sacrifice our children on the altar of these principles. So they want to cover it up so we don't find out that this is really a racial thing that's going on. They're attacking us for racial reasons. And you know, that would sort of disrupt the narrative that they want to push, that, you know, diversity is our greatest strength. And the most disgusting thing is that you might think, when you hear about a scandal like the Rotherham scandal and other scandals, that, well, this is just something that happens here, or you know, this is some sort of exception. But it isn't. I just want to tell you one story, and that is that I was in Riga last week, among other cities. I was traveling around the Baltics, and I was in Riga together with Jonas Locka and Tina Vik. Tina Vik is probably known to the audience because she does Happy Homelands together with Ramsey Paul, and Jonas Locka is her fiancé, and he is part of the production team for Happy Homelands as well. And the two of them are elected to the city council in the town where they live, Oulu in North Finland. So they're elected to the city council. They're nationalists, and they ran as you know, independent. They ran an independent campaign, so they're not a part of a party, but they're well-known nationalists in Finland. Now, all of a sudden, people came to Jonas, and I interviewed him about this, and we're going to release the video as soon as we're done editing it, so people can learn more about it. But I'm just going to tell the story briefly, and you can listen to his own words. People in this city, this little town in North Finland, came to him and said, "My daughter was raped in a park, and the media isn't writing about it. And because they have their own social media and they have a popular live stream in Finnish, you know, for a Finnish audience, and because he's in the city council, he had some pull. So he could force this out into the open. So they started talking about it, and all of a sudden the media is forced to talk about it. And they released identities of some of the perpetrators, I believe, that the media didn't want to talk about. And even the police there tried to cover things up, because he told me a story that one of these girls, I believe she was 14, after this had happened, she committed suicide. And journalists started asking questions. They asked the police, is it true that a girl committed suicide? And the police said, we have no information about a girl committing suicide. So what Yunus did was he called the police. He has balls of steel, this guy. He called the police and he said, I know that you know about this. And if you continue lying about it, I'm going to bring it up and I'm going to name you at the next city council meeting. And I'm going to expose you that you're lying about this case. So after that, they were forced to admit that, yeah, a girl committed suicide. And I believe that it was more than one girl that committed suicide. And it's an underage girl. She's not an adult. It's actually a 14-year-old girl that committed suicide because of these things. So it's not, unfortunately, it's not just a local thing. This is an epidemic all over our world. And it's completely unacceptable. I don't know what's wrong in the heads of our people. I mean, even some parents, disgracefully, they disgrace their kids' memories by trying to run along with the media narrative instead of trying to protect other children who are at risk for being exposed to this danger. And I really want to emphasize that, because a lot of people, you know, they want to be understanding, and they want to be, you know, it shouldn't be too hard on them and so on. But I believe that when you've seen something very terrible happen, and when something very terrible has happened to your family, you have a duty to actually warn others and do all that it takes so that others don't have to experience the horrible things that you and your family have experienced. And then you have to take these PC glasses off, because there's a reality out there. And if we're a society, if we're a community, we have a duty to each other and make sure that this doesn't happen to other children. So I actually believe that people, this is an evil thing. If you are complicit in covering this up, there's no other word to describe it than evil. I believe also Millennial Woes talked about that in his speech last year at your conference, Mark, that only this can only be described as evil. I don't know. I mean, the only thing, We can never stop what we're doing, because you know, we see the results. And just as you said, when we're actually a minority, things are not going to be better. You know, these people who believe that if things only get worse, then all of a sudden everyone will wake up. They haven't waked up. They're not going to wake up by themselves. So the most important thing is that we continue to spread sanity in this madhouse.
Jason, what are your thoughts on this, my friend? You usually have some very powerful and motivational words. And I think at a time like this, they're needed more than ever, because this is truly sickening.
Well, it is my heart, as I'm hearing about these things, is pounding in my chest with fury, because I'm so sick and tired. Let me first say that we were saying a moment ago about the debate coming up with Jones and Taylor. I hope Taylor eviscerates him. Jones came on this show and he said that if it wasn't for Catholicism, and that was really, it wasn't even just Christianity. It was just Catholicism that made us who we are, instead of us making Catholicism what it is, which is the actual reality. He came in here and said that we would be chasing pigs. I hope Taylor mops the floor with him and then defenestrates him. I can use that verbiage because the twits at YouTube won't get it. The same kind of twits that would condone and would help the censorial twits at YouTube, who would condone and help to silence the news getting out about these militaristic rape gangs all across our countries in the West that are allowed to just do whatever they want to do. And then you have this Down syndrome version of Donald Trump over there in the UK who comes forward and demonstrating once again for all of us, when you vote for anybody in the regime, whether it is a party that considers themselves a little bit to the right of some other party in their false dichotomy of right-left, you're still getting the continuity of anti-white agenda from start to finish. They just feed you the things you want to hear long enough for you to vote for them so that that individual can get his or her place at the public trough and get his or her place in the fame, his or her place at the paycheck that they get for the rest of their life for having served a single term or whatever it is that they get when serving in this pub. Serving, they're not doing any serving for us. They're serving those who are behind the scenes that pull the strings, those who have the actual power, those who control the news and entertainment media and can tell the masses what to think about these pieces of human waste that can see our little girls, our women, our little boys being molested and raped and murdered and beaten to death. And nothing is done by these bastards. If there is any justice in the world, God himself will come down and pull them out of their offices. And that will be the end of this anti-white tyranny. Every single tear, every moment of terror, every moment when the girl is wondering, is this the end? Will it be the end? I hope it is the end. After and during and for the rest of her days, as Frody is pointing out, that they wish they were dead and then they commit suicide after the trauma that of these things that have been inflicted on them. It is sickening beyond comprehension. And it is time that men of the West stand up as men of the West in the way that we can. That is not with violence today, because they control, the anti-whites control all of the means of violence. I was just watching a video from Greece where they backed up a ship full of military-style police, the military itself and everything else. They dropped the door down like a great drawbridge at one of their islands and unloaded hundreds or thousands of these militaristic individuals to suppress the population there, the white population there, so that they couldn't trouble all of these doctors and engineers entering their fair island to ruin everything that is Western for them. It is beyond time that we get out to our brothers and sisters with Going Free and we let them know exactly what is taking place, that nothing is going to be done no matter what promises are being made, and that we do whatever has to be done, even if it means when they're standing on a street corner with a microphone and a camera, that we have to jump in front and grab the mic out of their hand and shove them out of the way and say for the 2 or 5 or 6 seconds before they're able to turn off the television back at home center that we are being raped, we are being murdered, and we are sick and tired of it. The population is not going to put it up with it anymore, and there's going to be an end right now. It has been said before, and it will continue to be said, the revolution of thought will only be truly underway when, in the midst of their news broadcast, folks from the population come into the studio and they push the bastards reading the words that have been taught to them to read off of those teleprompters. They push them out of the way. They grab the camera. They grab the guy in the studio so that he can't turn off the feed. And we tell the masses what's taking place. What more is it going to take when your daughter is the one that's gang raped by these goddamn militaristic gang rapes? These groups of people that they continue to give euphemistic names to. You're going to wait until it's them? Mark just said all you need to hear. They already have all the power that there is. There is no more time to wait. It's not violence. It's not voting. It is time to get out to our people with this message as far and wide as we can before it is too late. And if you want fire in your belly to do this, put your mind into the heart of that little child, that little boy, or that little girl that has been dragged into some hovel with some dirty mattress and some filthy ceiling that they get to look up at while they are brutally gang raped by animals laughing and cackling the whole time that they're doing that. Think nothing more about that and then see if you can't find the strength and the resiliency and the courage to overcome that concern about being seen as a heretic. You don't have the words. You don't have the ideas that the establishment wants you to have. Well, too damn bad. You don't have the courage to take the mic out of their hands. Well, too damn bad. You better find it, because it's going to be your wife or your son or your little girl that's next.
Agreed. Well, I think that puts a very, very good end to that topic. And we can now move on to something that's slightly more lighthearted, that's slightly more, hopefully, gives people a little bit of something, a little bit of light relief after that very heavy and depressing topic. But just to say actually one more thing about this, this is why we are organizing. This is why we now have a political alternative. This is why we came up with Patriotic Alternative, so that we can actually organize and so we can actually fight for power using the democratic system in order to make our voices heard. But the next topic, and several people have contacted me about this particular topic this week, and this is something that made me chuckle. It wasn't, I don't know how many weeks ago it was. I don't actually keep a record of when these tiresome things happen. But a few weeks ago, a guy called Danny Tomo and his master, Tommy Robinson, declared it was time for a new nationalist group. It was time for a new patriotic group. And they were going to call it the Patriots Union. So upset were they about the success of Patriotic Alternative, so riled were they about their drop-off in Telegram followers and the fact people were asking questions about the scandalous waste of time and money that was the Shalom documentary, which still hasn't emerged. None of these documentaries ever seem, you know, they raise all the money, but nothing ever seems to happen, does it, guys? Nothing ever seems to happen. But the Patriots Union was going to be big. They did a stream launching it. They started raising funds. And then allegations started to be made that the funds had disappeared, that people had done a runner with a bag full of money, and that the Patriots Union wouldn't be getting a website. And then Danny Tomo resigned. And now the Patriots Union, which never even got its website, which the money was raised for, has already folded. It's already gone. Patriots Union is a thing of the past. It's not really a thing of the past. If something never happens, is it actually a thing of the past, or is it just something that never happened? And there's a real pattern here, because there was the EDL, then there was Pegida, then there was TR News, which is still stumbling along. Then there was Patriots Union, which never got off the ground. Then there was another party that was being launched. Apparently, Tommy was going to back, called Integrity Purple, possibly the worst name for a party that I've ever heard. Absolutely ludicrous. They had a really awful launch meeting in a pub somewhere, where you could see people draining their pints of lager as they sat looking bored, watching a guy speak next to two other people who were also speakers but looked very bored. It looked like something out of sort of late 90s nationalism, not particularly great, but that was meant to be the new big thing, until the other day when it was announced that Tommy Robinson was going to be starting yet another new group, and this time with Carl Benjamin. Carl Benjamin, the man who crashed Gamergate, the man who crashed UKIP, was now getting together with Tommy Five Names, who crashed the EDL and Pegida and the Patriots Union, which never got off the ground. These two men are apparently going to ask you for money. They're going to be asking nationalists all over Britain for money, because they need it. They need it to start yet another new group. And this new group is going to be orientated around fighting for freedom of speech. And I just think these people have got a lot of cheek, haven't they? They never stick to anything. They never make a go of anything in the long term. I mean, Sargon told everyone to join UKIP and there was going to be this purple revolution. But that's all been abandoned now. The UKIP boat has well and truly run aground. And he is now in his little dinghy paddling away to Tommy's boat. And they're going to start their new venture together. And I find this endless grift, this endless demand for funds, for endless new groups and endless events, and nothing ever changes. Nothing is ever achieved, but the people at the top, well, they're doing all right out of it, aren't they? And it was something that a lot of people asked me today. Was I going to speak about this on the show? And yes, I have spoken about it, but I'm treating it with the contempt it deserves. I have no doubt that they'll hold some kind of impressive rally in London. They'll have a nice big launch event. They'll raise loads of money. But in a year's time, will it have changed anything? Will there be any community? Will there be any lasting organization? I think not. I think it'll just be another flash in the pan that disappears. And I want to hand this over now to the panel. Do you guys have any thoughts on these endless grifts, these endless new organizations started by the same CivNet groups who call for freedom of speech one minute but refuse to acknowledge people like Ursula Haverbeck and Alison Shablow the next? What are your thoughts on these people, Frody?
I have to say that this is the first I hear about those organizations. I haven't really been following this, and I don't know. I mean, Sargon, I guess that's one of the guys, right? Sargon, and he is, I don't understand the appeal with the guy. He comes across as not very intelligent, and just as sort of, I don't know, is he libertarian or something? It's just nihilism. It's just the same old bullshit that as everything else, you know. And he, it gives him cover for saying, you know, things that some criticizing the dumbest things are in feminism and leftism. Mm. There's really no substance. I mean, stuff like that is not gonna. It's not going to turn anything around in the West. That's just going to further the stupidity. We have to come down to a better philosophical foundation for our worldview for the future of our society. When it comes to Tommy Robinson, it's a pity because he's a really good communicator. It's a pity that those talents are wasted on this nonsense. People have seen, first time I saw about, I think Nick Griffin made this video about him over 10 years ago, about him and the EDL and so on, their connections. And that was interesting. And it's, you know, it lacks substance. It's entertainment. We need something more than entertainment. We need a game plan to change things. We don't need that nonsense entertainment of CivNattery. It's just bullshit, all of it. I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of it. I really have nothing more to add about it.
Well said, both of you. It's really the epitome of a CivNattery and grifter activity. This is all about making money for these individuals. I don't doubt. I mean, I saw when I worked on the Hill that there were junior senators and congressmen that came in, and they at least appeared, some of them, to have some genuine concern for the country, some people who would call themselves conservatives, who we know as gelded bitches. And they, you know, they come in and they have some sort of concern for the country, some sort of concern for the system that we have here in the United States, for example. But then immediately you see what ends up happening to these folks. They end up going a very different direction. So I don't doubt that this Carl Benjamin Sargon or Tommy Robinson, that there was some bit of concern. But when it comes to both of them, we're talking about abstractionist ideas. And abstractions have failed us. Abstractions are the reason why we are where we are today. Abstractions are, you know, where we say, and it's the legitimization of anybody can have these ideas, and therefore anybody can be a Brit, anybody can be a German, anybody can be an American. Well, they can be in the sense of a paper German or a paper Brit or a paper American, but they can't be these things because it is not in their biospirit to be these things. So this is just simply another effort, I have worked in business. I've worked for wealthy people. I've managed people. And this and what they're doing is identical to any other business model I've seen in the past. I don't see any genuine effort here. Certainly not what we have here. It is a Herculean effort to make a change in the lives of our people. And more importantly, the lives of those children who are being raped right now. While these handicapped, Down-syndromed individuals at the head of conservative group in the UK and the like just continue to make excuses and to hide things and sweep things under the rug because certain anti-white groups are not going to be pleased if the world finds out about exactly what's going on. So this to me just sounds like, and the first thing that came to mind was Homo Caligula when I heard you, Mark, talk about this new party that they're, this new endeavor that they're putting together. Hasn't Sargon already ruined one? And hasn't Tommy already demonstrated that he puts another group of people's interests ahead of our interests? So yeah, this is just, it, for those of you who are following or have followed these people in the past, it's okay that you have gone wrong. It's time to turn around, to turn away from these losers, to stop being fleeced by them, to stop being robbed of all of your money by them, and to put it into, put your effort, your genius, your talents. You could even keep your money, keep it in your pockets, but put your effort, your time, and your genius into helping endeavors that are actually going to result in positive things for our people. And I pass it back to Mark.
Thank you. Thank you. And I do agree with all of your sentiments there. Now, we do have lots of questions tonight, quite a few, in fact, and we have some super chats. So we're going to go over to those now. If you want to donate or if you want to send a question, please use Entropy. The Entropy link is in the chat now. It's in the description of the show. It's on my Twitter and it is also on my Telegram. You can follow me in all of those places. Please go over to Entropy to ask questions and to make donations if you wish to. If you can't make a donation via Entropy but wish to, you can donate to the show via Bitcoin. If you need to contact me about donations or anything else, the best way to do so is by emailing me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. I answer all emails and I'm open to always giving out advice or being helpful to anyone who needs any help. So if you find yourself in a bit of a pickle or need some advice or need help with anything, especially about improving your life or moving forward in a positive manner, please feel free to email me. That's mark@thefallofwesternman.com. So we're going to do the super chats now. The first is from Daniel Lewis. It's £20. Thank you very much. No comment, but thank you very much for the donation. Beric Shear gave £10 and said, I invite PWR viewers to check out the ideas of Wendell Berry, Leopold Kerr, and John Papworth. I believe the wider dissident right will greatly benefit from their small is beautiful philosophy. Thank you very much. Liam Norris gave $10 Canadian and said, this is the last show I get to watch for the next 6 months as I'm starting my first European backpacking tour. Best of luck, folks, and keep going free. Well, thank you very much, Liam, and good luck with your backpacking. Marty Morosley gave £10, thank you very much, and said, Mark, what are your thoughts on Traditional Britain Group? Are they worth supporting? Will you be attending any of their conferences, and would you encourage others to go? Yes, I've been to Traditional Britain Group events before. They are very, very good. Laura has spoken at one, which is obviously excellent. I think Millennial Woes has also spoken at one. I think they're really great. I don't go very often because they're in London. And the problem for me is getting all the way down to London just for one day is a bit of a pain. And also, I don't like London. So it's one of those things. It's like you have to go into the worst part of Britain in order to meet good people. But I may well attend again in the future. I realize that they have just advertised a black tie event. It is something I'm interested in. And I would say if you want to meet decent people, go along. And the most of the people there seem to be people who support Patriotic Alternative anyway. So, yeah, you'll be in good company. Serena JB gave £3. Thank you very much. And she said, do you think our enemies in the media are overextending themselves in regards to the anti-white films and mixed race adverts that are being made? Well, let's go around the group. We'll start with Frody. I'll answer this one last. What do you think, Frody? Are they overextending themselves? Are they exposing themselves? And have they finally gone too far?
Yes, I think history shows that excessive chutzpah is always what ends, is always the end result. You know, that when they're very influential and when they feel that, you know, they underestimate that with the people in power in our societies today are. Those people are basically narcissistic psychopaths. And what people like that always do is underestimate everyone else. So they start to treat everyone else with contempt. And that, in the end, will backfire. Because not everyone is stupid. And in the end, you know, when you kick a dog enough, it will start to bite back. And yeah, so I do think they have overextended. And I think it's their downfall, because people are not, you know, when they go from, you know, boiling the frog slowly to setting the house on fire, then people will start reacting. And that's what they've done, because the whole point of their power is that they can sort of mimic in a way that they're sort of, oh, they're your friends and sort of. But when they openly show contempt, it just alienates everyone, and no one wants to be a part of the society. No one can identify with the society anymore. So, yeah, I think it's their downfall.
What do you think, Jason? Have they finally overextended? Are they going too far, and are the public finally noticing?
I think there's a couple of things at work that play into that answer. Not quite enough time to really touch upon it all, but the short answer is that their domination, the anti-white domination of all institutions, all entities, has given them a level of confidence that they no longer hide behind their pretexts, which is a marvelous thing, not just because it reveals what their real objective is, which is to inflict harm on Western kind and Western civilization. But more importantly, because revealing these things undermines their anti-white narrative. And one of the principal, the sort of the pole at the center of this giant circus of anti-whiteism is this belief that white males dominate all things and manage all of society for the benefit of the white race. And why not, by the way, since it's our countries, our civilizations we created. But nonetheless, the narrative is that we're doing this and exploiting all of these other groups to do so. And with this just omnipresent anti-white hatred and anti-white activities and everything that is done by all of the major institutions in our societies, it is impossible to continue with the movies and the television shows and the magazines to convince people that the white race is controlling society and exploiting all of the other races for our benefit, because everywhere everybody looks, they see the exact opposite. And that is a truly magnificent thing, because if you understand that society is run according to the fiction of the anti-white narrative and that reality is made to conform to this fiction, if you understand that, then you understand that if they begin inadvertently in this case, and it's because of the hegemony that they have, if they begin to undermine that narrative, that works profoundly to the benefit of us, because that means that the people, the white masses, the soil, essentially, if you want to refer to them that way, becomes far riper for a message that comports with reality, as opposed to the message that is coming out of their televisions and movies and the like.
Well, what's my take on this? I really have two takes, to be honest. The first is that for most people of our age, and people a little bit younger, actually, people who aren't in school, should I say, for most people who are above school age, I would say that the media are actually waking those people up. The media are alerting those people to the plan. And that is a very, very good thing. And we saw this most notably with the Tesco Christmas adverts. Now, for 2 years, Tesco ran Christmas adverts, which I talked about on my channel. That was one of my big things. These Christmas adverts were so packed with multiculturalism, it was just jarring. And the theme of these adverts was that essentially everybody's involved in Christmas. You know, you have these Muslims, they're all hugging each other, wishing each other Merry Christmas. You have mixed race families, and they're the epitome of good Christian British values. They're sat around the dinner table, they're all getting on charmingly, everyone loves one another. And you have an Indian family, and they're the master chefs. They've absolutely nailed Christmas dinner. They know how to cook the turkey properly, they've basted the bird, they're doing it all wonderfully. And on the other hand, there were some indigenous families. And these indigenous families were the buffoons. They were the sort of comedic element of the advert. They were either arguing, they were being surly with one another, the mother was spilling the potatoes all over the floor and bashing the turkey into an oven which had an oven shelf in place. So it was obvious the turkey wasn't going to fit, but she was ramming it into this tiny gap, which, you know, an idiot would see it wasn't going to fit. And all the roast potatoes were shooting everywhere and the family were bickering. And the theme was clear. The theme was that ethnic minorities, according to Tesco, are better than the indigenous people. Ethnic minorities are cohesive, they're nice, they celebrate Christmas in a really good and wholesome way. But we, the indigenous people, we're the buffoons. We're the people that everyone laughs at. And that advert got a record number of downvotes on YouTube. It got a horrific response from the public. And the response was so bad that it was covered in all the daily papers. And Christian groups, it wasn't just nationalist groups, but Christian groups were up in arms about it and were boycotting Tesco. But Tesco didn't just take this lying down. They doubled down and they produced a second advert the next year, just like this. And it got the same response. And last year, they completely changed their adverts. And if you saw last year's Tesco advert, you would see that they actually listened to the public. So yes, the public does find this jarring. They are noticing it. I remember the first year of those terrible Christmas adverts. Normal people that didn't really talk about politics to me were saying, have you noticed, Mark? I mean, I know you talk about, you know, race and politics all the time, but you must have seen these Christmas adverts. Every couple's mixed race. Every couple. And normal people did notice. And it alerted them to this globalist plot to replace us. It alerted people to the agenda that the media have. And it can be seen everywhere now. Another thing that normies have become very awake to is the fact that all their favorite characters are either becoming black or female. So if you've got a favorite character, odds are that favorite character will either be changing gender or changing race. And people are aware of that too, and people don't like it. And I think the reason that they're doing this is not actually for us. They're doing this for the next generation. And this is what does worry me about this, because what I welcome about this is the people who are waking up to this. I welcome that. But I don't think the companies are doing it for those people. I think the companies are doing this for people who are of school age, who are young, naive, and impressionable. And they will be immersed in this from the minute they're born. So they see this as normal, so that they don't complain about their replacement. So they don't get angry when they see towns and cities slowly go from being majority white British to places where white British are a minority. And I think it's a very careful and very clever way of engineering things, because these people aren't stupid. They know they're not going to turn people like us and many, many normal people into lovers of multiculturalism. They know that most normal people of our age are absolutely opposed to the indigenous people becoming a minority in their ancestral homeland. But if they work on the kids, if they work on those school-age children and immerse them in multiculturalism, liberalism, and numerous other things. I mean, we're talking about multiculturalism, but there's also LGBT values. There's this drag queen poison, all of this. That's why they're pushing it at children, so that the next generation is completely lost. The next generation will be ruined before they even reach voting age. And I think they're thinking to themselves now, look, we're accelerating this demographic replacement. This is getting quicker and quicker every year. Let's just get it over with and let's make sure the next generation of Indigenous youth are so absolutely acclimatized and brainwashed to it that they don't join their fathers, their older brothers, their elder sisters in any resistance against this replacement. So that's really my take. On one hand, fantastic, lots of normal people waking up. On the other hand, just wait to see the effect this happens on children, and wait until you bump into a child who tells you that, you know, what's wrong with James Bond being a black woman? In fact, you know, wait till you meet a child who tells you that their favorite Bond is the black woman. And you say, well, what about Sean Connery? And they say, well, who's he? Yeah. And that is going to be their perspective. And it's very, very worrying. But we are going to do everything in our power to ensure it absolutely backfires on them in the most spectacular way. Do either of you guys have any other takes on this? Because this is quite an important topic. And if you want to say anything, feel free.
Yeah, I want to add something. And, you know, that's... It's like they've always had, when they don't really have power, they have a good strategy. For example, communism is built on a very intelligent strategy, because there's simply more people in the working class than in the sort of bourgeoisie. So if you just want to get a lot of votes, you cater to the working class because there's more of them, and so you can take over society, subvert society by catering to the huge masses. What they claim to believe is that the white middle class is the class with power, and that's why white people can't be can't be the victims of racism, according to, you know, social constructivist or modern postmodernist theories, and I don't know, gender theory. I don't know what these theories are called, because their point is that you can only be subjected to racism. Racism requires that the racist has a higher status or a higher level of power than the person subjected to racism. And since white people are at the top level, they can't be subjected to racism, because they don't lack the power. They have the power. Thing is that if they actually show contempt to these people, it would sort of signal that they don't think they have power, because they would need the support of the actual powerful groups in society. And I happen to believe that all of the Western society is built on the backs of the white working class and the white middle class. And by them alienating the white working class and the white middle class men, they are alienating a group that can actually be the most powerful group in the world. Because, yes, it is in a sense false to say that you know, the white middle class doesn't hold power. But if we put our minds to it, the white working class and the middle class will hold power, because everything rests on us being complicit in this bullshit. And if the white working class and the white middle class just say, we're not going to partake in this anymore, we're not going to be complicit in your active genocidal trends and genocidal projects against us, then they're sort of in trouble. And I think that they are overconfident, the people in power right now, they're overconfident, and they don't really know what they're doing. It's like the SAS commercial that you've probably seen, the Scandinavian Airlines, saying that there is no such thing as, you know, Scandinavians and whatever. They got such a massive negative reaction that they took the video down. And when they were asked, why did you take the video down? They said, oh, our ad campaign was hijacked by Putin. It's like, people can't, no, it's unthinkable that people are actually pissed off that you're part of my language shitting all over them. That's unthinkable. It must be Putin's fault. So, you know, that signals to me at least a kind of stupidity. These ad people, they live in a fantasy world where they just have their own ideological people around them in an echo chamber. And they're not really in touch with reality, and really having, you know, feeling the pulse of reality is a necessary requirement to be able to hold on to power. Because if you don't understand what's going on in society around you, I think that you are going to fail. And I think the left and the generally sort of politically correct paradigm has been subjected to a sort of a Spenglerian cycle that, you know, it's like when you're first without power, you're hungry, so you're rational, you're logical, you understand how the system works, so you understand how to work the system, and you work your way up to power, more and more power, then you become comfortable and complacent and start doing stupid shit. And then you start losing power because other people are more hungry. And I think the left has done this because they have just been comfortably in power throughout the West, the cultural Marxist left, for decades now. And they don't really understand how power works anymore. So they start doing really stupid shit and they start failing. So I really think this is a golden opportunity for us, and we just have to push the message and just massacre their narrative because they are starting to fail.
Well said. In talking about hunger, we talk about that a lot in America. We use that. How hungry are you for it? I don't know about, I'm sure this is the same with everybody listening, but I got a pack of ravenous wolves inside my heart that haven't eaten in years, and it's time to take back what these reins that the anti-whites have used in their arrogance and in their hubris to harm us. The really important thing here is, and of course all of that is metaphorical, the really important thing here is that there's great hope to take in the fact that the anti-whites, if they had absolute control, they wouldn't bother with the anti-white propaganda. They bother with the anti-white propaganda because the actual power, genius, money, strength, etc., resides in the body of the white population. So they have to continue to manipulate their thoughts in order to manipulate their actions. Actions at the poll, actions, they're taking action when they stay on the couch rather than standing up to what's being done in our countries and across the West. So we could take great hope in that. And what do we have to do to help these people? What do we have to do to help them go free? That is, get them this psychological defense mechanism against the psychological warfare that is being waged against them. If we get to these people with the psychological defense and with the culture creating things that we are implementing, we will, without question, take back the reins of our destiny and put a very rapid end to what the anti-whites are doing to us. Next time when somebody like a Boris says, or somebody, some other sort of politician somewhere says, well, we're just going to sweep that under the rug, there'll be a trial and you all will never see that person in the light of day again. I pass it back.
Okay, thank you. I think we've got some really good takes on that. We've got another question here. It's from Steve Ben Bob, who gave $5. Thank you very much. And he said, surely even the majority of the Spitfire Conservatives must be truly outraged by this truly evil act by Boris Johnson's Tories of covering up these grooming gangs. Now is the time to use this to get them on our side, get them on the side of true nationalists. Okay, now this is my position on whether people are annoyed about it. Boris Johnson is a clever guy. He's a smooth operator. I've said this before. He's very similar to Jeremy Corbyn, in fact. He just states things in a different way. He's better at the marketing. So, for example, he recently pushed through HS2. Now, HS2 is something that is deeply unpopular. No one really wants this high-speed rail network. The environmentalists are against it. The left are against it for a lot of reasons. Most conservative voters are against it. Where the HS2 line is going to run, people are up in arms. They don't want it. This isn't going to benefit anyone. It's going to cost billions and billions and billions. And it's just going to be another way for the super rich to live a better life than normal people. So everyone's against it, but Boris has greenlit it. So what did he do at the same time as he was greenlighting HS2? Well, he deported 14 Jamaican criminals, or however many, 12, 14, who cares? It's a small number. It's a small number. It worked in our favor in some ways because it got people talking about deportation and the legitimacy of repatriation, which is something we want to talk about. So great, we did benefit from that to some degree. But Boris effectively covered up the whole HS2 scandal with this token gesture of 14 people leaving the UK. So all of the Spitfire patriots were so busy clapping like seals and cheering about this deportation and then getting angry that not all the people were deported who were meant to be deported, that they completely ignored the fact that HS2 was being pushed through, because Boris had cleverly buried one piece of news that would annoy people with a tiny morsel of goodness that would please people. Okay, so what's he done here? Well, at the moment, people seem to be totally ignoring the fact that Boris Johnson is covering up the grooming scandal with the fact that he is talking about scrapping the TV license. So all the Spitfire Patriots are busy cheering, Boris, yes, good, no more TV license, that'll teach the BBC, that'll teach these liberal lovies, you know. And while everyone's cheering about that, they're ignoring the fact that, more crucially, hundreds of thousands of Indigenous girls are being groomed and the government's covering it up. So he's covering one thing up with a tiny little tidbit of goodness. And let's face it, if you don't want to pay your TV license, just don't pay it. Here's the law. You only have to pay a TV license if you watch the BBC. If you have a television in your house which doesn't have an aerial and is not able to show the BBC, you don't have to pay a TV license. So just buy a TV, connect it to the internet, watch YouTube, watch streaming services. Don't watch the BBC. You've saved yourself 200 quid a year totally legally. And if the inspector comes around, give him the middle finger and tell him he doesn't have a warrant to come into your house, and then laugh at him. Laugh at him and tell him to get off your property. You don't need Boris Johnson to scrap the TV license. Just don't damn well pay for it. That's it. But all of the Spitfire nationalists, Spitfire patriots are now, you know, cheering, clapping their hands like seals who have been thrown, you know, the smallest fish imaginable. And whilst they're clapping their hands in a demented manner over this tiny fish that Ringmaster Boris has thrown in their direction, they're missing the big tuna. And the big tuna is the fact that the Conservatives are perpetuating this horrific cover-up and are now complicit in the abuse because of what they're doing. And this is the problem. This is a massive problem. And I think that if you sat these people down and tried to explain to them what was going on, I think that's something that you could do, but it's actually getting these people and sitting them down. That's a difficult thing to do. What do you guys think about this? Do you think, you know, you don't have to comment if you don't want, it's a bit of a UK centric topic, but do you think that these sort of plastic patriots are actually bothered, or do you think they're just living in the dark? What's your thoughts on the matter?
No, I mean, if they were able to understand things, they wouldn't have been conservatives in the first place. They would have been, you know, nationalists and so on. Because that whole paradigm is a loser paradigm to begin with. So no, I don't really know about this situation. But I think people should stop hoping to get, you know, all the conservatives on our side, because really they're conservatives because they're cowards. Most conservatives that I've ever met actually believe other things, but they think that conservatism is the safe choice, you know, so you don't get criticized by the left. The conservatives always try to please the left, so, and that's what they're going to continue doing. So we need stronger stuff.
Yeah, I just want to say that, ladies and gentlemen, but both of these good men right here in front of you, these are the people that we need to be listening to. They know what's going on. They have the courage to say this in an age where the anti-whites, the opposition, the victimizers have the power to tell millions of people the exact opposite of what these guys actually believe. They have the power to tell millions of people and misrepresent these two gentlemen right here. That is a massive amount of courage. So each of us have to exercise the courage to go out there and to say to folks, whether they consider themselves conservatives or nationalists or whatever it is, wherever they're still anti-white, wherever they're still not acknowledging that the real superset here is that it's anti-whites who are victimizing Western kind and Western civilization. We have to have the courage to say to those people, and the love, to say to those people, look, you're just wrong. Everything that you care about the Union Jack, for example, in the UK. You care about this story or that story. You care about this great battle or that great battle. You care about your eyes water at the telling of the story of whatever it might be in British history. This all exists because we exist. There is no replacing the population, the animals, and that's what we are, whether you believe we have spirits or not. There is no replacing the biospiritual beings and entities that bring all this together and keeping all of this in place. And furthermore, only a wretched coward would turn away from what all of our ancestors have given to us, and it is their duty to preserve for all of those descendants that are yet to come. These kind of people, let them know that it's okay to have gone wrong in the past and to support these conservative movements that just run our people into the ground. Let them know that it's okay to have gone wrong in the past, but it's not okay to go wrong any longer once you know the truth. And I pass it back.
Well, thank you. We have another super chat here. This is from Marty Morosley. He says, quick shout out to Jason. Seems like a thoroughly decent bloke who adds much needed positivity to our movement. Keep up the good work, Jason.
Thank you.
David Marcus gave $25. Thank you very much. And he said, get on to the CivNat comment section sites, such as For Britain, and start dialogue with them. A lot of them just need that little push. Good advice there. Jekaterio gave $6 and said, hey, Mark, do you think it would be good to start to debate more influences with political affiliation on YouTube and Twitch, considering there were many red pilling during the Bloodsport days on YouTube? Yes, indeed. And talking of debates or talking of chats, next Thursday, I am going on to a channel called Zero News. Now, in the past, Zero News has made some videos about me. That's all in the past, though. I'm not somebody who holds any grudges. The guy seems like an honest, down-to-earth guy who's reached out to me, and I'd like to thank him for doing so. I'm appearing on his channel very soon, next Thursday, in fact, and I'll be having an hour or so with Zero News to discuss the importance of race, ethno-nationalism, and the threat of this demographic change that's taking place. So I will more or less debate. I'm not going to say I'll debate anyone. I'll debate the vast majority of people. I'm a busy guy, right? So if you've got a YouTube channel with 3 subscribers and you make insane videos that last 8 hours where you're just rambling madness, I am not going to sit with you for 8 hours, listen to your nonsense, and try to make sense of it. I'm not your counselor, basically. That's not happening. But I will go and have chats and debates with the vast majority of people who ask, who have decent-sized YouTube channels and are debating in good faith with me. I have debated numerous people. I debated 4 members of the tribe on the Israel Advocacies channel. I have previously debated Sargon on Rocking Philosophies channel. I have debated Halsey English when at the height of the blood sports phenomenon. I've done several debates. I debated James Goddard, and me and him are now friends. So there are plenty of good things that come from these debates. And if anyone is on, I went on Chris from TR Talk, which is now Patriotic Talk. That guy is a fantastic fella. We started off having a chat, seeing if we could find some common ground, and now we're friends. You know, same with James Goddard. So anyone that wants me to come on their channel, no, people in the comments are now saying, will I go on Flat Earth streams? There is absolutely no way am I doing that. If I get the choice of spending the evening reading my daughter books and watching as she giggles and laughs, or sitting with someone who thinks the earth is a giant snow globe, I think the choice is pretty clear. I am sitting, we're reading her favorite book, which is called Where's Mrs. Bear. We are going to be reading Where's Mrs. Bear, because that makes far more sense than the Flat Earth nonsense. So, yeah, that's the thing about debate. MX Anthony gave $5 and said, please reach out to interview the Telford victim, Kate. If Sargon can interview her about her book, you could too. Dare I say it, you would do a much better job of exploring what she was forced to take out of her book. Well, if anyone knows the Telford victim, Kate, I would be happy to have her on this channel. However, I am not going to force or try and force people who have been victims onto my channel. And I certainly wouldn't want to seem ghoulish by getting somebody on here and picking through their life. But if somebody does want to talk about it in an honest and open manner, I would be happy to have them on the channel. So if people want to reach out to this lady, she's more than welcome. But by no means are we trying to force her or cajole her or groip her into coming on. It has to be her decision, and she has to be completely comfortable with it. Jez gave $10 and left the very amusing comment. Thank you, Jez. He said, have some money I saved by not buying a TV license. That is the spirit, my friend. That is the spirit. And MX Anthony gave another $5. Thank you very much. And he said, the founding chair of the Equality and Human Rights Commission, Trevor Phillips, gave a gift to nationalists at the end of his opening speech at the latest Intelligence Square debate. In one line, he proved that you're right. Please take a look. Well, I will certainly check that out. And thank you for the donation, MX Anthony. I haven't seen that, but I will look it up. And also, if interesting things like that do pop up, please email me, mark@thefallofwesternman.com. Send me interesting links. People do it all the time. I do check them out. I have a watch of what people send me or a quick read. And if it's noteworthy, I do bring it up on the show. Now, we'll go on to the entropy questions. That was all the super chats. You still have time to super chat and make a donation if you want. The entropy link is in the chat now, and it's also in all the regular places. Right, the questions. Adam asks, I get the historical context, but how is bashing Churchill, Bulldogs and Spitfires going to help us win? Well, I'm going to actually throw this question back to you, Adam, in a way. I'm going to say, well, how has that helped us win? How has embracing Churchill, Bulldogs and Spitfires helped us win? It hasn't. All of these groups that have draped themselves in this bizarre sort of World War II bulldog pride imagery have failed. Absolutely. Because what these parties do is they're trying to reach out to people, and they're reaching out to people with an ethno-nationalist message, but they are dressing themselves up as a group that will always be represented as fighting against ethno-nationalism. So it makes for a very, very confused message. And what happens, this was a big thing for the BNP. The BNP would constantly deny many of the things that it was and then dress itself up as Spitfire patriotism. Then the media would come and speak to the BNP or go to a BNP meeting and quite clearly point out this contradiction. And this was very confusing for the public. And I think that we, as a group of ethno-nationalists, we as people who are talking about the Great Replacement and fundamentally talking about things that the public are told that Churchill was opposed to, that we fought the Second World War to defeat, I think it's very confusing, a little bit disingenuous, if we then cheese it up and get all silly with the Bulldogs in Union Jack vests, because it is a contradiction. And you're trying, and people who generally are drawn to the Spitfire imagery, the Bulldogs, the Churchill, they actually aren't really interested in what we're talking about. We need to build our own identity, and we need to reach out to people who are actually interested in what we have to say, rather than wrapping ourselves up in something that isn't really us, doesn't really turn on or thrill 95% of people who are in this chat tonight. I can imagine that most people in this chat tonight would be pretty appalled if we launched a website selling Spitfire t-shirts and little China Bulldogs in Union Jack vests and cheesy Churchill posters. People wouldn't want them. And it would obviously just be seen as a tactic of us trying to hide who we really are. And one of the key things about Patriotic Alternative is we're not hiding what we are. We're not hiding the fact that we're interested in demographics, that we are talking about race, that we're talking about the Great Replacement. We're not hiding any of that. We're just talking about it in a much more professional and above board way. And by doing that, I think people will, at the very least, respect the fact that we're being more honest. And we will get to a point where the media will say lots of nasty things about us, but they won't be able to say we're disingenuous. They won't be able to say we're liars. And I always found that was one of the worst things about the BNP. One of the worst things, and the National Front before it, the worst things about these parties were that the media could always say, well, here you are with your pictures of Spitfires and Churchill and your talk of the pride of fighting and defeating the fascists. But actually, your policies are ethno-nationalist policies, which is what all these people fought against. That's a massive contradiction. And I don't believe that perpetuating that contradiction and confusing people has ever helped us. It hasn't, because we're not in power. So why don't we try actually just being honest with people for a change? What do you guys think about that?
Anyone who actually thinks that Churchill is an admirable figure in history should read a book by Pat Buchanan called Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. He has probably been one of the most harmful people to all European white. He's been one of the most harmful persons in our history to the white people in Europe. So you should really read that book. Read up on the topic before having an opinion on the guy. When there was it's a couple of weeks ago now, when it was the day of remembering Dresden, Laura Towler tweeted something about, you know, commemorating the victims of the Dresden bombings, and one or a few of these retards started criticizing her for it. And I wrote a response that, you know, the bombing of Dresden isn't completely unrelated. It isn't completely unrelated to London a few decades later having a Muslim mayor. And really, that I think the people who are these sort of Churchill patriots, they should really read up on what harm he's caused England and the UK, and what those terrible wars have caused, how much damage they've caused the UK. I think that it's not completely unrelated to Englishmen being a minority in London, you know. So yeah, no, I think he was a terrible figure.
I will. I have nothing to add to what these two wonderful gentlemen just said. I will say this: we all can right now. We can like this stream, and we can grab that URL. And we have circles of influence on Facebook or VK or wherever it might be, on Twitter and Gab. We can go and drop that URL everywhere so that folks can see what is taking place here, the conversation that is taking place here. And you can also jump on over to Entropy. It is very easy to use if you're not there, and you can watch the stream there, and you can also gift Mark while you are over there as well, and participate in poll questions that, unlike myself, Mark is very good at making sure that there are poll questions for the interactive element of the platform. So I'll pass it back to Mark.
Thank you. I just want to add one small thing to what everyone said here. Frody's touched on something that I haven't even begun to think about in my response. What was the outcome of the Second World War? What was the outcome of this great victory that we're meant to celebrate? What was the outcome of Winston Churchill's naked warmongery? What was the outcome of his constant pursuit of conflict with Germany? Well, the outcome of that victory is what you see today. The outcome of the Allies being triumphant in Europe is hundreds of thousands of white girls in Britain being raped and abused. The outcome of that victory is your children being taught that they can change genders and being taught to hate themselves. The outcome of that victory is drag queen story hour. The outcome of that victory is the fact that by 2060, we'll be a minority in Britain. And you start asking yourself, don't you? We were meant to have won, but I don't see any victory here.
That's right.
What have we won? Because when you're a winner, you get something, don't you? When you're victorious, you get a prize. What's our prize? London with a Muslim mayor? London, a place where white Britons are already a minority, where there's a knife crime epidemic, which is being driven by people of migrant descent? Is that what you get when you're victorious? And I'm sorry, and this isn't going to be popular with everyone. And I know that people say, oh, my God, you've ruined it all now by being too honest. But the fact of the matter is, we didn't really win, did we?
No.
We didn't win because we certainly haven't got any prize. In fact, capitalist, multicultural, liberal, materialistic Europe that was ushered in at the end of the Second World War is actually the death of Europe. And when I say the death of Europe, I don't mean the burning of our cities. I don't mean the bulldozing of buildings or the destruction of art. I mean the death of our people. Mm-hmm. The end of the European people has been ushered in since the end of the Second World War. That was effectively the beginning of the end, because everything that has been pushed upon us since that great victory has destroyed everything that made us who we were. Our communities, our families, loving mothers, strong masculine men, respectful, decent, intelligent, chirpy children, all of these things that defined us, that made us who we are, they've all been taken away from us, haven't they? They've all been lost. And now we are in a situation where we're on the brink of extinction, where in the next maybe 10 years, Laura Towler, if she's in the chat, she'll be able to tell you exactly when this is likely to happen. But white British births will dip under 50% in Britain. And when? Next decade? Next 2 decades? At a push at the most? Hey, if that's what you call victory, you're welcome to your little, you know, Churchill statue on the mantelpiece and your Union Jack bulldog. You're welcome to it. But this isn't a victory to me. This is the greatest loss ever, because we're soon going to be gone for good. And when we're gone for good, that's it. There's no coming back. There's no second chances. There's no resetting the games console and having a second try, having another run, you know, chalking this one up for a bad attempt and we'll start again in the morning. Once we're gone as a people, the light that illuminated every corner of the earth with brilliance, ingenuity, written language, art, poetry, literature, you name it. Once we're gone, that light goes with us. And that is an unimaginable loss, not just for us as a people, but for the world as a whole, for humanity. And that's why we're fighting for exactly what we're fighting for. And that's why we are being very honest about this, and we are making a break with the kind of false patriotism that we've discussed. But we will move on. We have some more.
Let me just add one thing.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I think you usually say that that you know, immigration or mass immigration started, at least symbolically, with the Windrush in 1948. So in 1948, the immigrants started coming to England, the racial immigrants. And that is a couple of years after the war ended. This is just a couple of years after the war ended. So that is what the victors did, made happen, and let happen. That trend, which is now leading to the destruction. So destruction of not only England, but the rest of Europe. So yeah, I don't think people should celebrate that. I think that is a terrible, terrible thing. And people should realize that. So everyone should read in order to understand the last 100 years of history in Europe. Everyone should read the book by Pat Buchanan, Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. It was a horrible war.
Agreed. Well, we do have some more super chats. We've got one from The Last Red Squirrels. That is an excellent name. £5. Thank you very much. And he said, well said, Mark. And Guy Stark gave $5 and said, please ask Frody which book talks about the tribe's central / leading role in the British Empire. He mentioned the name of it the last time he was on with you. Thank you very much.
Oh, I don't... the tribe's central part in the British Empire. I think Joyce writes about it in Twilight Over England. Maybe I mentioned that. Probably was that. He talks a bit about it. William Joyce, and the book is Twilight Over England. Is his name William Joyce? I get all the Joyces confused. William Joyce, yes.
Well, thank you. We have another super chat here from Marty Morosley, who said, Mark, how are you getting on with Patriotic Alternative and the Electoral Commission? Well, that is a very good question. And that's a very good question because I have a very, very good answer. Our constitution has been checked by a solicitor. It is, according to a solicitor who is an expert in this, absolutely legal. It is being resubmitted very shortly, long before the submission date, which is actually later next month, and we will see what they have to say. I'm not expecting them to get back to us overnight, but we are going to keep resubmitting that constitution until they are forced to make us a legally registered political party so we can stand in elections. We are not going to give up, and we are certainly not going to roll over and do what these people want us to do, which is just to disappear. Susan Boyles Mole asked a question which was very highly voted and said, Mark, what do you think of Voodoo Media's recent activity joining in with the Groypers and being bigged up by the likes of Unwashed and Patriotic Talk? Voodoo Media was very, very rude to me. But a lot of people have been very rude to me, and I understand why people are sometimes rude to me, because things that I say can be scary. I'm asking people to realign a lifetime's worth of thinking, a lifetime's worth of brainwashing. And if people are rude to me, it's like water off a duck's back. I don't hold grudges. There's so many people who've said awful things about me. And the fact of the matter is, if they say, well, actually, Mark, you know, I've said some things about you, but I've looked into what you've said and you have got a point, I'll hold my hand out to them, shake their hand, and they're welcome on board. If people come to us and they've genuinely changed their mind and seen the error of their ways, I'm not going to turn them away. Who here tonight, and this is just a rhetorical question, hasn't bought into something that is bad that the system has pushed? Who hasn't been affected by the poison and the brainwashing? We all have. We've all got stories of how, not only how we've been affected, but how people we love have been affected. And I think it's great that Voodoo Media is playing a role in this. I am going to take him on his word. I am going to accept that he's being genuine, and I hope it's a change for the better and a proper change. And anyone that said things about me, anyone that's had a go at me, anyone that's even threatened me or said horrible things online about what they're going to do to me, etc., if they meet me, if they've changed their mind and it's a genuine change, I am more than happy to shake them by the hand and have them on board. I do not hold grudges. The important thing isn't some slight against me that happened online, you know, 10 months ago. the important thing is that this movement gets critical mass and that we win. And no one should see themselves as so big and or so important that they start telling other people that they can't be involved in the movement for making some little mistake. So, yeah, welcome on board, Voodoo, and I hope it's a genuine change. And I hope that you absolutely do good work and that you carry on your journey of enlightenment, because once you start learning the truth, it really is addictive. And somebody's asked in the chat, how about Tommy Robinson? Well, look, if Tommy Robinson rang me tonight and said, look, Mark, can I come on PWR and actually talk about demographics? I think you've got a really important point. I'd welcome him on. I'm all about making friends, building alliances, and building this movement. I want to see all of the talented people who have got a role to play in saving our people working together. When people say to me, what are you really proud of? Well, I'm proud that we've got people like Chris. I'm proud that we've got people like Dion. I'm proud that we've got people like James Goddard. And all these people are now working together, chatting, and it feels like we're building a big family. That's what we are doing. It's about community. And if Tommy Robinson, even after all the terrible things he said about me, and you've got to remember, I never said anything about him until he made documentaries about me, besmirching me and attacking me. And even then I held my tongue. And I would be a big enough man to hold my hand out to him. If he accepts the truth of this demographic replacement and starts speaking out to him, I will hold out my hand to him and I would welcome him onto this show and be nothing but courteous and gracious to him. Because, as I said, the only thing that matters is that we win. And we will win a lot quicker and a lot more easily if we are cordial and friendly to people who realize that they've made mistakes and want to jump on board. Okay, the next question is Onuist, and he says, is Brendan O'Neill's recent article denying race actually helping the dissident right? It may lead to more people researching race. Perhaps this reveals the next Groyper target. Well, Brendan O'Neill is an interesting character. He isn't one of us. Brendan O'Neill is he's a once Trotskyite Marxist, and he now self-identifies as a Marxist libertarian. So he isn't one of us. He wrote some silly article saying that by him claiming that race doesn't exist, he triggers both the racists and the anti-racists all at one time, because he's just so centrist. He's just so sat on the fence that he's defeating us all with his big-brained beliefs. Well, I'll say this, Brendan, if you're so intelligent, answer this question with a degree of honesty. Tell me if Chinamen and Africans are the same. If you can't tell the difference between a Chinaman and an African, I'll agree race doesn't exist. But if you can, then your article and everything you've said is just pompous, self-aggrandizing, navel-gazing tripe, which is exactly the kind of rubbish I'd expect someone who identifies as a Marxist libertarian to come out with. This guy doesn't have anything intelligent to say. He is just someone who wants to make a name for himself by writing things that are going to rile different people up by ignoring facts, logic, and scientific truths. Brendan O'Neill, complete waste of space. The next question is from Connor Chickmeister, and he says, do you think that For Britain should be included in the fake right? Amory Water seems more interested in Israel than Britain. I think the best person to answer that would actually be Laura Towner, because Laura did an excellent video on Amory Water's stance on Iran. Now, I was always a little bit skeptical of Amory Waters because of her stance on Israel and also her going to what I've seen, these gay pride or these pride events where she holds up flags and things like that. I don't really like that. I have no problem with people who are homosexuals or lesbians, as long as that doesn't become their identity. What people do in their bedrooms, up to them. But when they bring it out of the closet and force it down our throats, I'm not a big fan of that. But I think Laura Towler summed up a sensible position on For Britain when she made that excellent rebuttal to Anne-Marie Waters' warmongering stance, saying that we needed regime change in Iran. The fact of the matter is, since I've been involved in nationalism, which is now 2 decades I've been involved in nationalism, we have always been the anti-globalist, anti-imperialist, anti-war movement that have believed, as our one of our central pillars, that every people and every nation has the right to self-determination, self-governance, and to rule and run their own affairs. Whilst we don't want the people of Iran telling us how to live our lives, equally, I'm sure the Iranian people don't want us telling them how to live their lives. There's room enough on this planet for everyone. And the less we stick our beaks into other people's business, I think we can all agree, the better. Do either of you guys have any takes on For Britain?
I do not.
No. Well, I think that... Oh, there is one last question, and I will ask this because it's for Frody. It's from the Thin Red Line. He said, how do we contribute to the Jared Taylor, E. Michael Jones debate? I have not been able to.
How they can contribute to the fundraiser? Is that the question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you go to the link, Mark, did you provide the link to the announcement?
Everything's in the description below. There is a link to your Twitter, there is a link to your YouTube, and there is also the shortened link that you sent me to the Countercurrents announcement. It'll be the description.
Yes. So everything is in the Countercurrents announcement. Basically, there are two ways that you can donate to the Scanza Forum to help make this event happen, and then even future events. So you can donate with a credit card. It's in the link. And you can donate with crypto. If you want to support us some other way, the best thing you can do is to send me an email to info@scanzaforum.com. Everything is in the announcement, in the bigger announcement that is on Countercurrents. So you can read all about the event and more about the details there. And there's also links to how you can donate and support the event. So I guess that's it. And another way you can support it is to spread the word. So retweet the info about it and so on, you know, just spread the word. And I'm very grateful, and hopefully I'll see you there.
Well, Freddie, that brings us to about the end of the show. So if you do have any last thoughts other than what you've just said, please give them to us now.
Yes, a friend of mine just sent me an announcement from VDare in America that they have they now have a castle. So nationalists in America can now be nationalists and villains with style, like Bond villains in a in a castle. So that was one cool piece of news that I just wanted to share before we end it. And as I said, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on the show. I love the show, and you guys do an excellent job. So keep it up, and everyone, sign up for the Scanza Forum. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you very much, Frody. I implore everyone to support Scanza and to support this debate. And I've learned something new tonight, because I didn't think there were any castles in America. I didn't think America had been around long enough to have castles. I'm actually Googling American castles as we speak with a shocked look on my face. The only castle, I'm going to say something now that's going to make everyone hate me. The only castle I thought America had was White Castle, which is a burger chain, if you don't know. Just sort of my little knock at American fitness and health. So sorry if that offends anyone. Now, Jason, my friend, again, as always, another fantastic show. It is always wonderful working with you. But tell us, how can we support your work, and who's on tap this week?
Well, we are tapping into Rachel Summers on Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be an amazing tap. Don't miss it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say that it is a deep honor, deep and abiding honor, to be able to serve White Wellbeing with both Frody and Mark here. These are tremendous heroes, but I also want to say it's a deep honor to be able to serve with all of you who are with us live and in replay. And remember to look for the replay over on BitChute. Share that with people who may be unaware of where these videos go. It is a deep honor to serve with all of you, because the kind of people who appreciate the work that we are doing here are the kind of people who have the best characters on planet Earth. They are wonderful people. You are heroes, and you will be remembered in our history books once we recapture our destiny. So what else is there? NoWhiteGuilt.org. nowhiteguilt.org. The afterparty.tv is where you can find me, both of those websites. And we look forward to seeing you all again. I throw it back to the great leader, Mark Collett.
Well, thank you very much. Now, to close the show, and before we do so, there is more entertainment after this show over on Unwashed's channel. He is doing a live stream after this show with Charlie Big Potatoes. So if you want to go over and have some fun with those two, you will be welcomed. That is over on Unwashed's channel. Now, some final little announcements. If you haven't donated and would like to donate to the show, you can write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com, or you can send me a donation via Bitcoin. That would be gratefully received, and obviously everything helps to keep things running here. So please consider that. Now, we will be back next week, but at the moment, I do not know who the guest is. However, I will say this, I have reached out to All Well and Good. I have been asked for weeks and weeks and weeks, will I have All Well and Good on? And the answer is yes. I have reached out to him. I am very much hoping he will get back in touch with us soon, because it would be great to have him on. I've also spoken to Greg Johnson, and Greg Johnson will be appearing in the next couple of weeks. And I have reached out to Daughter of Albion, so she will also be a guest in the next few weeks. And you may have noticed, with this being episode number 42, we are already reaching nearly a year of PWR, and we are arranging a very special guest for show number 50. I will reveal that nearer to the time. So that just leaves me to say thank you to everyone. Thank you to Frody, the great Frody Midyord. Please support him and Scanza. Thank you to Jason, No White Guilt, who has been here for so long. We are now, like actual brothers, because we've spent that much time together. I would like to thank everyone who donated so very generously. Really, thank you so much to everyone who managed to donate. That is always a major help. And finally, as always, I'd like to say a huge, huge thank you to everyone who was here watching the show and in the live chat. This community is absolutely fantastic, and we are taking it into the real world. So I'm so looking forward to meeting many of you at future events. And I have just one final thing to say. Remember, if you enjoyed this show, it is not only live here on YouTube. The replay will be on BitChute, but we also stream live now to RadioAlbion.com. That is an excellent site. It's run by a good friend of mine, Sven Longshanks, and that has constant nationalist content 24 hours a day. So if you are going somewhere, or if you're just sat at home and you want a little bit more nationalism in your life, RadioAlbion.com is a great place to get it. So that just leaves me to say thank you to everyone. I look forward to seeing you again next week. And until then, look after yourselves and have a great rest of your evening. Good night, everyone.